each week we come to church and we do the things that we do because it's in the pages of Scripture. I preach from the Word of God. We do the reading of Scripture. We sing songs of praise. We pray. And you have to ask the question, why do we do what we do? And the answer is, we do what we do because it's in the Bible. Specifically, it's in the New Testament. One of the things that I did not mention is each week when we come to church, we give offerings to support the ministry of this church. And what we're going to learn today in our sermon is that our giving goes far beyond just keeping the lights on here. It goes far beyond paying the bills and supporting the pastor. We give because the Lord blesses us through it. And that's what we're going to see in our final sermon in Philippians. This morning we're in Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 23, at the very end of Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. So if you have a Bible, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 23. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied. Having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This sermon this morning is calling you to give generously to advance the gospel. And there are three reasons why. The first reason why is you are sharing in the work of others. Last week we looked at the true meaning of Philippians 4:13. The true meaning is that in whatever circumstances the Lord places us, we are to be content and faithfully serve Christ. In whatever situation we find ourselves, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. This week we close off our sermon series by looking at the topic of giving generously to gospel ministry. What we will see today is that your giving has great effect. The Lord has plans for you to give, and you will be blessed by it. The first reason we must give generously is you are sharing in the work of others. Philippians 4, 14 through 16 says this, "Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again." What we see here is that the church in Philippi holds a special place in Paul's heart because they partnered with him. It is important to understand that Paul traveled all throughout Europe during his ministry. Early on, when he started to go west through the Roman Empire, he crossed Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, and made his way to what is now southeastern Europe. While there, he started the church in Philippi. Paul eventually made his way to Thessalonica. Paul was only in Thessalonica for a few weeks, but apparently, during his time there, the church in Philippi provided for his needs. They were the only church that provided for Paul, as he says in the second half of verse 15. He said, "No church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only." They provided for his needs while he was with them, and even during his travels. We don't know exactly what the church provided Paul with, but we can assume that they provided for him financially. It may have also been other essentials like food and clothing. This enabled him to continue to do what he needed to do. Anyone who goes into gospel ministry, whether a pastor or missionary, needs help from the church. They can't do it without the financial backing of other Christians. On the back wall, we see missionaries that this church supports. This church has a strong legacy of supporting missionaries all over the world. This is extremely important because all Christians are called to be involved in missions. This is the command that Jesus gave in Matthew 28:19. He said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." So as Christians who take part in missions, we are either a goer or a sender. Every Christian is either a goer or a sender. So when we give each week, part of that goes towards supporting our missionaries. In addition, your giving goes to support me. If you did not give to this church, then you would not have a pastor, and I wouldn't be here. But thankfully, this church gives to this ministry where Brianna and I and Alethea can live here and serve you. Not only do you support us financially, but you also have provided a house for us to live in. We are grateful for that. You providing for me enables me to be your pastor, to help you grow spiritually, to equip you to do your own ministry in this church, and equip you to share the gospel with unbelievers in this community. Ephesians 4:13 says that pastors are to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So we see in our text this morning that Paul's needs were provided for by the church in Philippi during his travels. In that way, the church in Philippi were taking part in gospel ministry. Everything that Paul did, they shared in his work because they were a part of his ministry. So you see, this is a team effort. Paul did much, and the church in Philippi were able to say that they shared in Paul's fruitful ministry. So Eureka Baptist, in the same way, those of you who give faithfully share in everything that happens in the ministry of this church, whether missionaries or my ministry or any ministry that this church takes part in. This is the first reason this text this morning is calling you to give generously to advance the gospel, to share in the work of others. The second reason why you must give generously to the advance of the gospel is that you are benefiting from it spiritually. Equally as important as sharing in the work of others is what is happening within you. Paul writes that his motivation is not receiving the gift, but rather what is happening to the church in Philippi as they gave generously to Paul. This is what he says in verse 17. "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit." Paul is primarily concerned with the fruit that the church in Philippi will bear as a result. Paul is using a financial term here. He says credit. Debits and credits, that's accounting language. God is not a debtor to anyone. But because of the church's generosity, God is going to bless them. Paul is thrilled that the church will receive a reward from God because of their giving to the advance of the gospel. So you might be asking, what reward will they receive? Will God bless one with wealth when they give to the church? That is not what is in mind here. That if you give, somehow God is going to give you riches of money. So what is in mind here? It's a different kind of reward. And by the way, what we will see is that in the third point, God does provide for your needs. But what is in mind here is the spiritual benefit that will come from it. First, you will have spiritual growth in your life. Second, your work will bear fruit. This does not necessarily mean an explosion in numerical growth, although many people will be helped by what you have sown. Thirdly, because of the fruit of your ministry, your work will be recognized in the age to come. At the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ will look at what you have given. And if you've been generous with your giving, that's going to show up well. And you will be rewarded for it. Paul discusses this topic in two other places that will back up what I just said. The first is 2 Corinthians 9:6, where he writes, "The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." And then in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, he says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." So by giving generously, you greatly benefit from it spiritually. God notices it, and you will be blessed. At the beginning of verse 18, Paul stresses the abundant blessing that this gift was. This is what he says: "I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent." Paul is blessed, and he rejoices that the church in Philippi is also blessed because of their generosity. What we must see in verse 18 is that these gifts were not primarily to Paul, but to God. And so are your gifts when you give each week. This is what he says at the end of verse 18. That it's a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. These words are similar to the Old Testament language of sacrifices to God. In these sacrifices, God was not so much concerned with the sacrifices, but rather the heart behind the sacrifices. So this sacrifice of their finances and other essentials in order to help Paul, God is pleased with. He is pleased because they are contributing to the advance of the gospel, and it shows their heart is in the right place. Their sacrifice is acceptable to God because it was offered in the right way, with the right heart, not out of obligation or some external obedience, but rather this was from the heart, and they gave joyfully. So my question to you is, when you give, do you give joyfully or do you give out of obligation? God is only pleased if you give joyfully. So this we must do, and we will be greatly blessed spiritually by God. The verse that I always quote when I pray for our offerings is, "God loves a cheerful giver." That comes from 2 Corinthians 9:7. And as we give, always remember that. You're being blessed through this. You will be blessed spiritually when you give. So let us give generously and reap the spiritual blessing that comes from it. This is the second reason you must give generously to advance the gospel. You are benefiting spiritually from it. The third reason you must give generously to advance the gospel is God will provide for your every need. Verses 19 and 20. "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." You may ask the question, if I give generously, will I be okay financially? Will I be able to pay my bills, to support my family? This verse is telling you, yes, God will provide for you as you give generously, as you give beyond your needs, beyond your means. What we must realize is that God owns every square inch in the universe. The universe is a big place, and God owns it all. He owns you because he created you. He owns everything you have. When you realize this, this should spur you to be generous with your possessions. When you give, you are giving something that he already owns. He owns your life, so you should be giving your all for him in every aspect of your life. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says that you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Jesus bought you with his blood. So your life is for him. When Jesus calls someone to be a disciple, you know what he said in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 25? He says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." So if you follow Jesus, if you are his disciple, and you're giving yourself over to him, you're actually saving your life. And the life it's referring to here is eternal life. But if you're hoarding your possessions and you're saying, you know, this is mine, I earned it, it's mine, what you're actually doing, that's what unbelievers do. And they're the ones who lose their life. A Christian's life looks radically different from an unbeliever's life. As Christians, our life should be full of obedience to Him. One of the ways our obedience is shown is giving generously to gospel ministry. We must remember that we serve the one who is able to provide for all of our needs. Paul writes in verse 19 here, he says, "My God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." God is not in short supply. He owns everything, and He is able to provide for your needs. About 4 years ago, I went to Macedonia, which coincidentally is actually in the same region where Paul wrote to it. In Philippi. Philippi and Thessalonica are both near modern-day Macedonia. And my friend Igor, who actually stayed with us in America, I got to know quite well. And he told me a story about a time when he gave and the Lord provided for him. But before I tell you that, I want to give you a little bit of a background information about this country. In Macedonia, people there live on about $5,000 a year. They don't really buy homes there because they can't afford it. And so what they do is they live with their family from generation to generation. And so parents and their children live together, grandparents live together because they can't afford it. Now, Igor had an expense coming up that was $500, and he didn't have any money. And so he prayed to the Lord and he said, "Lord, I don't know how this is going to get taken care of, but I know that you're going to provide in some way." And he had a friend who sent him a letter and said, "You know, I'm thinking about you." And in the letter, there was $500. And so Igor was able to pay for his expense. And what an example of the way that God provides for His children. God is going to take care of you. And I can speak from my own personal life. Just this week, when we were in Racine, visiting Brianna's aunt and uncle, they gave us a gift of money that we weren't expecting. And it provided for our expenses for the trip. And it just goes to show that God takes care of His children. He's always taking care of us. When you take a risk for God, for His glory, for His cause, for His mission, He's going to take care of you. Brianna and I have experienced that in our own life, and he has always provided for our needs. And so God is going to take care of you too as you give generously. In verse 20, Paul makes clear that all giving is done for the glory of God. He says, "To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." All of life is about God. It's all about His glory, including giving. And so as we continue here, you might be asking the question, how much am I supposed to give? The New Testament does not give an exact number. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were commanded to give 10%. Many Christians use that as a standard, and that is a good standard, and many Christians use that. The only thing I can tell you is to give what God tells you to give. This is the instruction that Paul gives in 2 Corinthians 9:7. He says, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart." He says that after saying, "Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." So to answer the question, what am I supposed to give? The answer is no official standard is set. But God does tell us to be generous and to be cheerful as we give. What we do know is that God provides for all of our needs, and so that should encourage us to give generously. This is the third reason you must give generously to the advance of the gospel. God will provide for your every need. This sermon this morning has called you to give generously to advance the gospel, and the three reasons why are you are sharing in the work of others, you are benefiting spiritually from it, and God will provide for your every need. If you can believe it, this is our last sermon series. This is our last sermon in the sermon series on the letter of Philippians. I am going to close by reading the last three verses. This is what Paul writes in closing to the church in Philippi. He says, "Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Paul is telling the church in Philippi to greet everyone there. He tells them that everyone with him greets them also. If you notice closely here, you also see Paul's sense of humor. He says, everyone greets you, and then he says, especially those in Caesar's household. Paul was in prison in Rome by Caesar, the emperor. Wasn't the Romans' watch over him supposed to hinder the spread of the gospel? What Paul is saying here is, no, it did not hinder the spread of the gospel. Paul is saying even some of those keeping watch over him who worked for Caesar are now followers of Christ, and they greet those in Philippi. The last thing that Paul says in verse 23 here is, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is worth noting. A few weeks back, Barb Trombley mentioned this in Sunday school at the end of Colossians. Paul begins many of his letters by saying, grace to you. And then he closes by saying, grace with you. And the reason he does this is because the grace to you is everything in that letter is going to be a blessing to you. And then grace with you is everything that you just learned is going to be grace that is with you. So in other words, God uses the instructions of Scripture to be a means of grace for your spiritual life as you walk with him. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, you are able to follow the instruction that God gives you. Think of all the instruction we have received the last 3+ months. It is grace that God is going to use to build you up in Christ and to build this church up. So as we close the series on Philippians, remember the grace through instruction you have received, and by the Spirit, live by it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for leading us. Thank you for this sermon series on Philippians. Thank you for the grace that we've learned. And my prayer, Lord, is that we would give generously, that we would follow your instructions by being a cheerful giver, and that you would support the ministry of this church and bless the people as they give, and that we would see the fruit of it, and even show us some visible fruit, Lord, going forward of the generosity of the people in this church. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.